My name is Linda, and I'm the pastor of Children's Ministries here at North Shore Alliance Church. And so it's a real treat and a pleasure to be speaking with you this morning, to be worshiping with you this morning, and to be sharing the words that I believe God has placed on my heart. When I heard I was preaching in our series on the Sermon of the Mount, my first thoughts were not excited thoughts. Ha! I opened up the passage that said, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about anything. Do not worry about what you will eat or drink or wear. And my first thought was, oh no, what am I going to say to our people? I worried. And I thought, this is not something that I feel I am ready to speak out loud. I'm a worrier. I'm one who tries, and God will teach me, I'm sure, to trust him again and again and again. But I'm one who worries, and maybe you are too. God has a word for us this morning. So what do we do when we're worrying? Well, I'll speak for myself. I Google, because Google is, of course, the answer to all kinds of worry. Right? No? No? I Googled what this verse and the word worry, Matthew 6:25, and the word worry. And the first blog that came up was, I gave up worry for Lent. And I thought, great idea. I can do this. I can give up worry for Lent. Lent starts on March 5th. That'll give me 18 days to figure this all out so that then when I come with a word for our people, it'll be a word that's practiced and good and ready to go. My friends would call me determined or persistent. That's just a nice way of saying that I'm stubborn. And so as I set my mind on giving up worry, you can see it in my calendar, Lent starts, stop worrying. I thought all I would have to do is think hard about not worrying and worry would stop. Unfortunately, this is not how worry works. This has not been working for me for the last 18 days. I have learned one thing through giving up worry for Lent. I worry more than I thought I did. It's the only thing I've learned about giving up worry for Lent. Giving up worry has been hard. I worry when Janine, my coworker, walks into the office and is sneezing all over our computers. I'm like, Janine, stop sneezing. I'm going to get a cold. What if I get a cold before I have to preach? I won't have a voice. I worry. My mind wanders and runs down crazy thoughts. I worry when my neighbors have parties at 2 a.m. Are they ever going to stop? Am I ever going to sleep? Will I look haggard and tired when I stand on the stage tomorrow morning? I worry when the alarm goes off at the church shortly after I have left. Apparently, I was not alone when I thought I was. These things cause worry to rise up within me. Worry is everywhere. And I am sure I'm not alone here today in this room as a worrier. It's been said that we live in an age of a worry epidemic. Mental health professionals say that our cultural pressures and our quick access to news of disasters all over the world are just a few elements that have shaped our culture of worry. Maclean's magazine just recently, that's February's issue, published an article on this worry epidemic. They said that never has a society worried so much about so little at any other time in history. They define worry as fear plus planning. And this article singles out two groups of people that are chief worriers, moms and students. If you're in one of those categories, maybe these words will sound familiar to you. As a mom, you're taught to monitor, organize, and direct every moment of your child's lives. You're taught to control everything that they do, and you're taught that everything that they do reflects on you. Why wouldn't we be worried? Students, you're taught that getting an education means performing academically, and we confuse high marks with this idea of getting an education. Students, a B is not a bad thing. Let me just say that right here in this room. It's not a bad thing. You're getting an education. You're learning. So moms and students here, do you ever feel overwhelmed? Do you ever feel worried? Yes. Well, worry is not just for the moms and the students in the crowd. I'm sorry if you didn't fall into one of those categories. You were thinking, I'm off the hook. Woohoo! No, worry is for all of us. And so what is on your worry list? I have listed some fun worries that maybe we are facing right now. A project at school, the measles outbreak in the valley, anyone? The economy, finding a spouse, that might just be specific to me. That's okay. Not feeling in control, your children's future, your retirement fund. What are you worried about? Oh, maybe it's your gray hairs or the way you look when you walk out of the house. Maybe it's how somebody will perceive you. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's, am I doing enough? Am I doing a good job? What are we worried about? Do you believe me that we are all worried? Do you agree with me that we're all worried? Okay. Then I want us to take a moment and identify just one thing that we are worrying about this morning. And I want us to think of that thing as we listen to the words of Jesus. Do you have something in your head? Okay, I think you're with me. I'm going to believe that. Let's turn to the scriptures and remember that Jesus has something to say to us. He has something to say to us about our worries. He has something to say to us about the things that cause us concern. Jesus is with us in those places. As Keith mentioned earlier, we don't come and leave all of that at the door. We bring that to Jesus, and we say, Jesus, speak into these places in our lives. Our text is from Matthew 6, 25 to 34, and that's on page 1505 in the blue Bibles in front of you. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his or her life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, and what shall I drink, and what shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of the Lord. So, when we read this text, this is one that maybe you've read before, and you kind of want to say, that's just a good suggestion or a good idea, right? Maybe I'm the only one. I want to say, that's just a good suggestion or a good idea. But that's not what we read here. It says, do not worry. Do not do it. Do not worry. And so we need to think, what is Jesus talking about? And how does he possibly think that we can do this? I know that I, on my own strength, can't stop worrying. And so I need to know a little bit more. First off, I want to talk about what worry is not. It's my opinion that here Jesus is not talking to those of us who suffer from clinical anxiety or depression or post-traumatic stress disorder. So many of us have experienced something traumatic in life, and that shapes and informs our worries. And I want you to hear today that Jesus loves you, and he is for you, and he is with you. And I want you to hear today that perhaps no amount of trying will bring your healing for you. But there is hope, because Jesus is a God of healing, and Jesus is a God who has so much to offer you. And so as you hear the words of seek the kingdom and do this and do that, I don't want you to feel like, well, if I just did that, I would be a better person, but I'm not doing that, and so I'm a schlump, and so I should just give up and stop trying. That is not the word that God has for you this morning. That is not the word that we have for you this morning. Your journey of healing may take more than just trying and effort and strength. Your journey of healing may take counselors and psychologists and things like that, and that is great, and God has a plan for you in and through that. Don't stop listening because that's you. Don't stop listening because that describes you. Because I think there are things in this passage that will offer you hope. And God is a God of hope, no matter what our circumstance. So what kind of worry does Jesus describe? What kind of worry does God want us to see as we see this passage? Do not worry. Well, I think the key lies in the therefore that starts our sentence. It says, therefore, do not worry. Well, when we come to therefores in the Bible, we know that we need to look at the text that comes directly before. Therefore is a bridging word. It says, look at what's come and see where we're going. And so we look back to last week's text from Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Mark preached on this text. It was a text of kingdom economics. And the short version is that we are not to store up treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. The text goes on to talk about security and masters and a few other things. And Mark did a great job taking a look at this text last week. And so if you missed it, I would really recommend going online and taking a look. The key that Mark said, or the thing that I thought was his key, I haven't checked with him, maybe he doesn't think this is his key, but Mark reminded us that the things that we prioritize will shape how we live our lives and who we live our lives for. The things that we put first will shape who we live our lives for and how we live our lives. Our worry comes from the same place, the place of deciding what we're going to put first. If I put my treasure first, then I may have worries about economy and my retirement fund and my career and my job. If I put my family first, then I may have fears that I'll never be married and I'll never have kids and my kids will be sick or this or that or the other. Whatever we put first will be the center of our worries. And so Jesus speaks to these types of worries. To worries that are treasures and security and family and relationships. Jesus speaks to the type of worry that we have the ability to change, that we have the ability to put something else in front of. And so here is the question that you've been waiting for. How do we find and experience freedom from worry? I think Jesus offers his listeners two object lessons and one counteraction to replace our worries. And all three of these things are important to moving forward. First, the object lessons. Now, these are a little crazy. If you were to come to my office and tell me that you were worried that you were going to lose your job and that you would have no money and no food and that you had all of these stresses, anxieties, and worries, and I sat across from you and said, you know what, Crystal, I think you need to go garden. Crystal would probably think I was crazy. I had lost my mind. She'd be like, yeah, could you tell me more? And maybe there was some dialogue as Jesus was speaking. Maybe there's not. The scripture does not tell us there was dialogue. But I wonder if somebody interjected and said, what did you just say? Could you repeat that for me? Look to the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. This is the answer to worry. Well, Jesus is a good God, and he says, trust me, and look a little harder. He says, look at the birds, and see that they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, see the flowers, they do not labor or spin, yet God clothes them, and they are beautiful. How much more valuable are you than they? What's God's point? God's point is that we need to look past the birds and look past the flowers until we can see the one who created them, the one who provides for them, the one who provides for you. He wants us to look past the birds and the flowers until we can see our Heavenly Father, Abba, Papa, God. Does this guarantee that we will have an easy life filled with luxuries? No. Not necessarily. Does it mean that I can sit back and stop working and planning? No, probably not. It simply means that I have a good God, a good Father who lives in heaven, who lives with me, who walks with me and loves me and cares for me and sees me and knows what I need. So So how can we see this as we look at our birds and our flowers? How can they teach us this truth that God wants us to see? Well, I'm not much of a gardener, and maybe you've heard some of my gardening stories before. If you have, I apologize. But I can remember in the summer of 2010, I decided that it was a grown-up thing to grow tomatoes. So I was going to grow some tomatoes. And I planted some seeds, and I watered them sometimes. I found out later that my neighbors watered them a lot more often than I did. Not a problem. They got watered. And I waited, and I watched, and I hoped, and sometimes I even prayed that out of these seeds would grow something amazing. Something amazing did grow. And I had proof that I indeed could grow tomatoes. But if I had come to you and said, "Look, look, I grew some tomatoes," I would probably be wrong. I didn't do very much. I planted the seeds. I watered the ground sometimes. I hoped and I waited and I prayed. But I didn't grow the plant. I didn't grow the tomatoes. I didn't do the hard work. It was God who did the work. It was God who was in control. It's incorrect to think that I'm the one who's controlling my plant's growth. In the same way, it's incorrect to think that I'm the one in control of my life. My workplace will not be the same if I'm not there. You know, have you ever dropped your phone in water and had to turn it off for 72 hours? Yeah. And for those first 3 or 4 hours, did you go through withdrawal? Like, what if someone can't get a hold of me because I am so important in my life? What if somebody can't find me? I have to hold it all together. This is wrong thinking. We are not in control. God, our Heavenly Father, is in control. He is the one who controls our plans and our purposes and our destinies. He is the one who controls our careers and our workplaces and our families and our jobs. God is in control. And when we are motivated by things that are shift our focus from God being at the center, we are led to anxiety. We've missed the point that when God is in control, nothing can distract us from Him. It kind of makes me want to take up bird watching. I don't know about you, and gardening, but I actually don't think that is what Jesus is calling us to. Although bird watching and gardening are good things, I think what He's calling us to is to look to nature however we do that best. I think what He's calling us to is to stop, to unplug, to go for a walk, to listen, to look, to see the hand of God at work in our lives and in our world, and from that, to learn more about who our loving Heavenly Father is. So when was the last time that you unplugged? When was the last time that you let God show you who He is? And what do you need to do this week to put yourself in a place where you can see? From this reality of seeing and knowing who God is, of seeing and knowing God is in control, Jesus offers us another word. He says, stop worrying, start seeking. Seek what? Verse 33 gives us the answer. It says, seek the kingdom, seek His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Now, experts say, I'm not an expert, but experts say that when we are trying to break an unhelpful habit, we should always replace that action with something new and positive and helpful. Those are good words, hey? New and positive and helpful. Instead of worrying, we can seek the kingdom. This sounds easy, right? Worry over here, seek the kingdom over there. I'm going to do that. And this seeking is not after security or influence. It's not after meeting our needs or the needs of our family. It's not seeking things that will lead us down the worry path. It's seeking God the Father and seeking His kingdom and His plans and His kingdom, because we know it's one that's going to last. The verb used here is sotel, which means to seek intensely. This is not like I've lost my keys and I can find them in an hour. This is like I've lost my child at the mall and I'm seeking intensely for my child. Have that picture in your mind. It's a seeking that doesn't go away. It's a seeking that leads us to focus on, to want, to plot, and to act in a way that's keeping with our goal. Another example of this seeking would be our Olympic athletes. as they choose to take up a sport and practice and train and sacrifice and look only at that gold medal and look only at that prize. They're seeking in such a way that nothing can get in the way. Nothing can distract. Worry is a distraction for us. But what does it look like to seek the kingdom? You might be thinking, what does it look like to seek the kingdom? And how do I find out how to do that? Well, I think that there are some clues in the text itself. Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount that we've been talking about since back in October, I think, talks about kingdom behavior and principles and kingdom life. It shows us things that we can do and change and press into to seek the kingdom. Jesus gave us the answer right in his text. He said, do this, don't do that, that's a bad idea. This one will help you. And as we read the text of Matthew 5 through 7, we can find what the gospel life, what the kingdom life should look like. Another thing to think about or to remember is that when we're seeking, we're not striving, we're cultivating. Just like the plant, I didn't strive to make my plant grow. I cultivated a life with God. And we've been talking here this semester about cultivating a life with Jesus. Through engaging in the spiritual disciplines and living out a life of mission, we are cultivating a life with Jesus. If you want to know more about that, there are tons of great stories online of people here in this community who have been cultivating their life with Jesus this year, who have been seeking the kingdom. Go and read them. Find somebody you know. Take them out for coffee. Tell them, ask them, what's that like? How's your seeking been? What are you finding out about the kingdom? Why do we seek the kingdom? Well, I think because God's kingdom and righteousness are God's plan for us. He says, seek the kingdom. He tells us this is as much a command as do not worry. And so we seek the kingdom and we know that God's righteousness and his kingdom are his plans for us. And these are things that need our full attention. And so this passage ends with a therefore do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is saying, keep your eyes on this, because this is going to keep you busy. Seeking the kingdom is going to fill your time. It's going to be enough. And so I write, if we trust God and truly believe he is who he says he is, then we will not be afraid to seek the kingdom and we will not need to worry. And as I wrote those words last night, do you know what happened? I thought, I can't do that. How can I say that out loud? Because I can't do that. And it caused worry and stress and anxiety to fill me completely. I can't do that. But there is room for my reality in the kingdom of God. When I read that and feel overwhelmed, there's a small voice inside that says, Linda, look back to the birds and look back to the flowers and remember that they are not in control. Remember that you are not in control. It is your job to plant the seed. It's your job to face in the direction. It is your job to set yourself up to be seeking the kingdom. But it is my job, God the Father's job, to take me there. It is his job to release freedom from worry in my life. It is his job to plant seeds of hope and life where there is none. I can't tell you that I have woken up one day, 18 days into my Lent of worry, and decided that, yes, no, I don't worry anymore. I wish I could. I wish I could, but there's still worry that rises in my heart. But I now know what to do when worry comes. I know that I can seek the kingdom. I know that I can shift my focus from that problem, which is so small in comparison to my papa, who is so big. And so today, would you with me look onto the face of Jesus and trust that God the Father is in control? And seek the kingdom with all that you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you are a God who is in control. I want to thank you that you are a God who is big enough.
I want to thank you that you are a God who we can worship with all that we are. We can know, God, that you have kingdom plans and kingdom principles and kingdom life waiting for us as we turn our eyes and our attention to you. God, I thank you that it's not my job to get there, that, God, I plant the seeds and I water the seeds and I work at trusting you more and I work at following you and seeking your kingdom. But, God, that when I plant my vision and my focus on you, you do the rest, God. You pour out your spirit. You fill me up. You make me able to do more than I could ask or imagine because you are that kind of a God. God, I thank you that you are big and strong and that you can handle any worry that comes our way. And God, I thank you that your word today is not a word of harsh, do more, but actually a word of hope. God, I thank you that you are a God who goes before us and makes a way for us to see you more in every place in our lives. God, this morning, we turn our eyes to you. We look to you. We look to your plans for us. We look to your purposes for our lives. And we invite you, God, to be breaking everything that holds us back, everything that distracts us from you, whether it's our worries or our fears, our addictions, our unhelpful habits. God, thank you that you are a God who breaks these and leads us into the light of your kingdom. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So this morning, if you're feeling burdened by worry, if you're feeling like, I don't know how I can do this do not worry, we want to pray with you. We want to believe God with you, that we have a big God and that he can break every worry that comes, that we don't need to be overwhelmed because we can focus our attention on him. And so as you're going, I want you to know that you are not alone and that the grace of the Lord Jesus goes with you wherever you go. And that the love of the Father, the one who loves you completely, he goes with you wherever you go. And that the joy and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you wherever you go. And so look to him. He's the one who is able. He's the one who can set your feet on solid ground. He's the King and the one who gives us our breath. Amen.
Hallelujah.